Let's begin with our message here. It's called Content, Be Content, and I really got this from coming back from my Alaskan trip. And it was kind of neat, and I'll explain a little bit here when we get through the scripture and stuff. But I tell you, that Alaska trip was just mind-blowing, spiritually blowing, family-blowing. It's all around. It was like my place to be. And even Hope was saying, oh, this is really good. So I'm thinking, yes, you know, this is where we're going to go and be and everything. But we had all of our family together. And the Canfields really inspired us, you know, how they get their family together once a year and they just make it happen. And so Hope and I just made it happen for our kids. It was a beautiful trip. Phenomenal, phenomenal trip. So much to see, so little time. But like Hope was saying, some of the best times was like in the morning where, you know, Hope and I were always up first. Sometimes we went for a walk and we'd come back and one of the kids would be up and then we'd be talking to them. Another one would get up, we'd be talking to them. Next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock. We're just all talking together. That's what the trip was about, getting family together and just really enjoying that time. And in the evening, just laughing. And our kids can banter back and forth pretty quickly and fast, and it's fun just to sit back and let them do their thing, and we get entertained by that. But it was just a phenomenal trip, and from this, we're just looking at, you know, being content. So let me just begin with a word of prayer, and we'll go on with the message. Father, there's so much that has happened in the last couple of weeks here and abroad, and even, you know, the scare of hurricanes coming in and the Gulf Coast. We know that you are greater than all of these things here. We know that who you are is just phenomenal to know. And as we go through scripture here today, we'll be looking at some Alaskan pictures. But I'm going to be making comments that are going to be taking scripture and putting that in and just getting us to think. You kind of see how my mind works when I'm just kind of like driving along and seeing some things and how important that is. That we're just constantly, continually thinking about you. That our focus is you. Not just here on Sunday, but wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And to know that there's peace and comfort in knowing that you are always there. That your love is greater than anything that's around us. So Lord, I want you to be with the message here today, that the Holy Spirit takes what is being spoken and puts it to the hearts of the individuals here and just make it right with them. I thank you for being able to share and to, as Fern was saying, as maybe even teach. And this we pray through Christ the Lord. Amen. So this is a map that we have of Alaska. Alaska is it's a big state. You know, it's huge. In fact, it encompasses 1/5 of all of the United States. That's how big it is. But if you look at the road system that's there, it's pretty few and sparse because there's a lot of wilderness that's up in there. And one of the things I noticed about the road system is that we came into Anchorage, which you can see is right there near the bottom of the part right there. It's pretty big. And then you see this little red line that kind of goes like an S squiggly underneath there. And you can, I don't know if you can make it out, but it says Seward. That we were there too. And we were in between those where we were actually staying in this little chalet up in that area. So we didn't really travel very much of Alaska. We just saw a little bit. But look at that road at the end of Seward. Where does it go? Nowhere. It's a dead end. Look at all those roads. They're all dead end roads except one. There's only one road that gets you in and out of Alaska. Think about that. It's the largest state and there's one road that goes into it or out of it. And I'm thinking about, you know, excuse me, as far as our walk with God, there is only one path to take. There might be a lot of roads that people do take, but guess what they end up being? Dead ends. And in those roads, you may find, you know, really beautiful scenes, you may find certain things, but in the end, it's just a dead end. And it's important to find that one road that gets you where you need to be. And, you know, we were just a little bit on that road, and it's really interesting to see how that goes. And I know, Jeff, you took one time, you said 21 days to get up there? By motorcycle to get to Alaska. And you can imagine, that was a while ago, so some of the roads were dirt too, you know. You know, just crazy. So some scripture here, if we're looking in Proverbs 21:16, says, a man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. There's only one path to understanding, and that is to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you think you've found a different path than that, look at what it says. You're with the company of the dead. And it may be a huge place, you know, to go, like Alaska is, and there's, you may find footpaths, you may find just wilderness out there, and but there is literally just one path that really leads you to Christ, and that's, you know, or to God the Father, and that's through Christ. So we've got to remember that always, that no matter what is around us, it may be beautiful, do not let it distract us from the real purpose of our lives, and that is really to get to know Christ. And then, you know, with our world that we have here today, we tend to push and we push and we push, and sometimes we don't know how to rest and relax and actually do the Lord's work. We tend to try to get ahead in everything. And we can have some scripture here in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. It says, talking about Paul and his effort to do something and to work for the Lord. He says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, he says, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know, we can look at this and we can say, oh, that's what we've got to do. I've got to discipline myself. 6 hours Bible study. I've got to discipline myself to dress nice. I got to be disciplined myself to show people that I'm a Christian. I got to discipline myself to, you know, that's not really what we're looking at. I mean, he is talking about running this race, but it's a race of life. And how we run that is important, because people see our lives, and guess what? They see through you too. They can find your motivations and why you're doing stuff. And what's important is that you're doing the work for the Lord. Do not, I don't know, show other people that you're striving harder than them and you're more of a Christian than them, because really, we're just Christians. And we sometimes, I've seen this before, where people, you know, show this ladder and it's going to heaven and everything, and you're on certain rungs, there's people above you and below you, so it's like, you know, you want to be above people. It's not like that. Guys, we're on a path, right? And that's really what we need to do. And if somebody on that path needs help, then you stop walking and you come back and you get that person some aid, right? Don't worry about, you know, that the goal is there. It's already there and everything. So we don't need to overly stride and to show people that, you know, we are, you know, well-traveled people by, you know, going to Alaska and say, oh, this is what I did. It was a dream of mine to go. And I'm just so thankful that I was able to accomplish that. Yes, we are planning to go back already, but it's like, it's pretty neat. But I'm just thinking, you know, some people will, you know, go to Alaska and they try to make their millions, you know, the gold rush or whatever, to make their fortune. But they're missing the whole picture. That we need to have that relationship with the Lord and strive for those sort of things, right? Everything else is that's our focus, and there will be things that will distract us one way or the other. But when we were there, one of the things that we saw a lot of was this, a mountain. We saw mountain after mountain after mountain. And you can see these are quite tall mountains because there's trees at the base of the mountain, and then there's shrubs, and then there's grass, and then there's like nothing but rock. All right, that's pretty high up there. And I got a picture here that just kind of takes the same picture and blows it up a little bit. And it's hard to take a picture and really understand how big these mountains are. They're huge, and it would take a couple days probably just to walk up that mountain. I'm not even sure if you could walk up on that slope. It's just constantly up, and there's some loose gravel that would be in there. There is you know, just the steepness alone on a lot of these mountains. You come back and you start looking at the Adirondack Mountains. Those are just hills. Yeah, they really are. And it's like, you know, we look at that and our perception has really changed. So when we start reading in Scripture, and when they speak about mountains, you know, get this Adirondack stuff out of your head and go to Alaska and look at the mountains that are there. It's crazy when they start talking about the hugeness of these mountains. So we get some scripture that says something like this here about our faith. Matthew 17:20 says, "Reply, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain," that huge thing, right? That mountainous thing that weighs, I mean, you can't even put a mass to it because it's so big. "Move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And I'm thinking, there is no way. We're talking about pebbles over here, right? Can I, you know, do I have the faith to move a pebble? Well, I guess if you've got the faith to do that, you could use the faith to move a mountain as well. That's how God works. It's not about the size of things. And so, when Scripture speaks about these mountains, for me, it makes a little bit more of a difference in the sense that we are now looking at a hugeness, a monstrosity that's there. And then this next picture that I have for you is like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of one of those panoramic pictures, so it's like narrowed on the top and bottom. But looking across there, how many mountains do you see in the view? Everywhere you went, there was just, you were surrounded by mountains. Even in Anchorage, which was a bit of a flat area, off in the side, you know, off in the everywhere is like three sides of it outside the ocean and stuff. You're just seeing mountains all around you. So what about that faith? Not just moving a mountain, but multiple mountains. And I wonder too, is like, you know, we have struggles in our lives that is a mountain. Like, and it's terrible to be able to go through that sort of thing. And yet God is saying, I am bigger than that struggle. And when you take a picture looking at this here, maybe other people's lives, it isn't that there's one mountain in their life, but there's hundreds of mountains in their lives. One struggle after another or during the same time. How do you handle that sort of thing? You handle it by having faith in God and let it rest in His hands. Because otherwise, it's just overwhelming to be able to do that. It's really something. And when you look at the mountains, they don't all look the same. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Right? "And if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing." Scripture reminds me that love is greater than all of those huge mountains that will be in your life. That's what we need to focus on. So we need to hold on to, and it's God's love. Because if we're hanging on to those little things, that's like going through Alaska, through those dead-end roads. It ends up being nothing that you've got. And there can be huge mountains in people's lives, and sometimes those mountains just spring up, and they just come out of nowhere. It's really difficult to be able to go through those. And like I said, all these look different. Here we are going out to the glacier on this boat ride. And look at the landscape. There's literally no beach on this stuff here. It goes from mountain to sea. And that's it, all the way around. Beautiful, but enormous. I mean, the boat itself is really big. I forgot how many people were on the boat, but there's quite a few. And you're just seeing these different scenes of the mountains. And we can understand that people have different types of mountains that are struggles with them. And just because we've experienced one mountain experience and have, say, tackled that with the help of the Lord, it doesn't mean that we can handle every mountain on our own. Because every mountain is different in terms of we're looking at it. Here's some other ones that were in this way that we're coming down through here. It's just It's really, really beautiful landscape. Rugged, rough. You know, I think of when I came up and I applied for this job with Edwards Knox, I said, you know, I'm from the country, but I'm not... our country back in Western New York is not like the wild country up here. And now I'm thinking, though, there's a wilderness country up in Alaska. You know, there's like all different stuff. And it's just a harsh country. And we're seeing it during probably the nicest time of the year, because these are all going to be covered in snow soon, because they're so high up and everything in terms of what we're looking at. But when you look at the majesty of all of that, and you think about other scripture, about even though it's a harsh country, it's a sparse country, and yet it's all this ruggedness, we can read scripture like in Psalm 98, 7 through 9, it says, "Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equality." God created all of this, every bit of it, and for a purpose. Sometimes it's for us to, to be challenged by. Maybe for some of it is to see just His beauty in all of that. But to know that the mountains rejoice, the sea rejoices in the Lord, it's like, how can those things... It's His creation, just as we are His creation. And we need to remember that wherever we go, that we should be singing His joy. And that sometimes we get so mad at, you know, the inequalities of, you know, this person has this and they shouldn't have that because they're not a good person, and this other person here, this is, you know, they are a good person and this has happened to them. That shouldn't happen. But yet it says right here too, we need to know that He will judge in His righteousness. Right? We leave that stuff to Him. And no matter what the struggles are, that's where our faith resides. Our hope is in Him always, over and over and over again. So we see, even in this area over here, this is the glacier that we went to. I can never pronounce it, but it's spelled A-I-A-L-I-K, glacier. And this one here is the one that Armando was talking about. It's 20 miles wide and 30 miles deep, this glacier is. But this is just a touch of it, you know, coming into the ocean. And we're still, I'm going to say, like a mile away from this thing. So even though it looks like that, it's not blowing up or anything, it's huge when you get there, and the boat is dwarfed by it. It was really cool. We were able to take the boat up to it, and this thing is actually moving. Do you remember how much it's moving? I forgot.
I don't know the exact number. I think it was like 5 feet a day or something.
Yeah, it actually moves 4 or 5 feet a day. So the ice is different than what you would think of solid ice. And so we were sitting there, and chunks of the glacier was falling off, as it just naturally does, right? And you're thinking, oh, wow, there's a little chunk that falls off. And then you hear the thunder of the ice hitting the water and the splash that goes up higher than the ceiling over here. That is a huge chunk that comes off of it. You just can't fathom that sort of thing. It was really cool. And then you see these harbor seals that are laying on some of the ice right there in front of the glacier, just kind of sunning themselves. It's really weird. And you can see some of the ice chunks that have fallen off over there. The ice has a really beautiful blue color to it, and just huge. They actually grabbed a piece of the ice, and we had ice in our... you know, soda drinks or whatever water drinks you wanted. So we had ice drinks or glacier drinks there. It was pretty cool that went with that. When we look at the bigness of all of this and why we have all of that, it takes me back to Job when Job has been so sick and his friends were talking to him and Job was responding, and then God comes into the picture, you know, and he starts talking about his creation and all that stuff. And here he says in Job 38, 25 through 30, he says, "Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? To water the land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland, and to make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? And I'm thinking about this scripture here that, you know, God created all of this, you know, and it's through His word that it was spoken and created for a purpose. You know, we don't know all of the purpose. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, when a tree falls in the forest, does it actually make a sound if nobody's there? Well, my question is, does the ice when it hits the water off a glacier make a sound if nobody's there to hear it? You know, but God knows. God knows every aspect, whether even if when there is no man, God is still managing that part of the land as He manages the land right around us as well. He manages our lives. God is so much greater than the huge size of the world. And it is huge, you know, compared to us and who we are. And God's so much greater than that. The next picture that I have is this one here. And it looks like a little simple thing. This is what they call the turn again arm. And the reason it's called turn again is because Captain Cook, who was exploring the coastlines and stuff, wanted to find a way from the Pacific to the Atlantic. He came in this area here and he had to turn again to get out because there was no exit. But what's really neat about this is what they call a bore tide. You can see that little wave that's right there. Everything else is really still. But as this... The tide raises quite a bit here, up to as much as 31 feet. It's like one of the second largest place where the tide changes. And so we were able to be there at a time where the tide is coming in as the river, which gets filled with the salt water, is draining back out, and the river itself from the mountains and stuff is draining out. And this is the collision of the new tide coming in, going upstream and pushing its way. Everything that it looks like it's well, I'll show you I've got another picture tonight or after later on. You'll be able to see where it's kind of barren. You know, this section over here. You can see a sandbar right up there in the center. But when the tide is in, that's just all solid water and everything. And people will actually surf on this tide that comes in. They'll get a surfboard, one of those, what do they call those, standing row boards or something? Pedal board, thank you. And they'll stand right on that and they'll go all the way up the river with this. What's neat about that is that there is no stopping it. I don't care what you try to do, put a little barricade up, there's no way you're going to be able to stop that movement of water. The tide that God has ordained to come in and to be able to create this. It was really fun to watch. Well, I know it's not a big thing, but just to see the massiveness of the tide coming in and changing everything. Isn't that what God does sometimes? Yeah. And through all the forces that we may have, His creation is so much stronger than anything that we can do to try to divert what God's plan is. And it reminded me of the Great Flood. And you just imagine how these individuals were, you know, kind of probably mocking Noah for building this boat on dry land. Right? And it took him 100 years in which to build this boat. All these animals and birds, reptiles, whatever else were coming into this big ark. Noah during that time was preaching the word. People heard it, but they didn't take it to heart. And can you imagine the bore tide coming in, the floodwaters coming in, and there's nothing that could stop that. Because when God ordains it, it's done. And so that's what it reminded me of, is like just the force of being able to do that. So here's that scripture in Genesis 7, 17 through 20. It says, for 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high up, above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. So you think about those mountains that you saw in Alaska that I showed pictures of, covered completely. And it was that tide that came in with water and just... And there was nothing that those people could do. So here they are. I'm sure they're banging on that ark. Let me in, let me in. It's too late. Because what God ordains, God ordains. It just leaves it at that.
Pastor?
Yes?
I watch a lot of Alaska programs.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But there's one program, the people plan their work by the time.
Yes.
You know, they have to take their cattle up to some of the higher pastures, and they wait for the tide, and if they get up there, they have to stay a day or so.
Yeah.
And so their work is all planned when they live near the water and depend on the water.
Yeah. And those seasonal harvests of the salmon and, you know, halibut and stuff like that is true. Yeah, very good. That's a good point. And then we have here, this is a picture of all of us having dinner. We went to Anchorage and we went to this one restaurant, I don't remember the name, it's 49? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. A very nice restaurant, but this is how we ate. It was during the rainy season, and we have to have our raincoats on. And so we were outside under this umbrella, and the umbrella was just barely big enough to fit us underneath there. But here we are sitting there while it's kind of sprinkling, raining, and eating our meal. It was really different, because most people would be like, no, you're just inside, you don't do that. But they're outside. Here we are, we got little jackets on, and you know, you can see everybody kind of tucked in like this, holding the warmth and stuff. There's Alaskans over there, they've got like sandals on, shorts on, and they're sitting out there too, just kind of like having a great time discussing it. It's like, you know, they enjoy that weather. My son, who works, you know, with the mines basically, he loves the rainy days and the windy days. It keeps him cool from what he's doing, and it keeps the bugs off of him. You know, so you know, he looks forward to the rainy days and stuff. So, one of the things that we're looking at that we do, you know, our message is about being content. So, sometimes we need to forget about what's around us that's causing the problems—the rain and the cold sometimes—and realize in this picture here, it's being with family that really counts. And it was, no matter what the weather's like outside, it doesn't matter that family's there and we're spending some time together. And that's what made that meal so special. The food was phenomenal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we baked there several times. There's one in Denali, though.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. This was Anchorage.
No inside dining?
Yes, there was inside dining as well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it was actually pretty full inside, but it was still... most all the tables were filled up on the outside over here. And you can see the harbor. I mean, obviously the view is pretty cool that you're eating while you're out there and everything. So remember about our surroundings. So when we look at Philippians 4:10-13, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know that what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned that secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength. And I think this is what Paul is speaking about. He went through some pretty harsh environments. And through all of that, he was content. Why? Because he knew the Lord. And that the Lord is his strength and his rock and his foundation. So, yeah, we were having dinner outside, which, you know, it isn't really that harsh and stuff, but it's just a representation. Maybe an image that can stick in our heads to help us remember what we have. The other thing is, when we were able to get up on some of the mountains, we took a tram way up onto one of the ski lift mountains and stuff. And from there, you can see, like, this is like on top of that, near to the top of the mountain. It's not quite to the very top. But you're looking out, and you can see this huge valley. And you can see the mountain range just all around it. And you start to get a whole different view of what it's like to be in Alaska, and you're just awed by it. You can see right along the edge there where, you know, it goes from that, those plants to be really close and those plants being far away. It's pretty steep. It may not be vertical, but it's pretty darn close to being vertical. You couldn't stand on a lot of the sides of the mountains there. And yet, this is a ski slope. So I'm thinking, I can ski. I've skied for a long time. It's too much for me. Parts of it, most of it, would probably be too much for me. But I do want you to look. You see that little pond that's down there in the middle of the picture over there, and you see down on the bottom of the pond a little dark spot that's right over there. I'm going to zoom in a little bit over there. There is that dark spot. And then just to the left of the little dark spot, you see a little black spot. Do you see it there? That's a bear, okay? So really, in the wild, that's as close as we were to the nearest bear. I don't know if you can see it, but it looks like there's two ponds. At the bottom pond on the left, there's that dark spot, and where it's kind of curved, like a crescent moon. In the center of that, there's a little black spot. That's the bear. And so people were pointing that out to us, and I just wanted to show you that what that was there. But this was a bear that we were right next to. But it was in a conservation place. They had a big fence that was around it. It was really neat to be able to see a lot of the wildlife up close. And so they have a very nice conservation conservatory that they could do this, and a nice walkway where you can take pictures of bear. Pretty impressive, and the strength of these animals really goes to speak about, you know, some of the things that we have to be worried about with the valleys and we're in that darkness. And it just reminds me of scripture that it says in John 10:7-10, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When we go out, right, there's bears that are out there. They're willing to attack you and rip you apart. And you don't even know when they're coming because they can just sneak up upon you. But I want you to know that there is God, and He is our shepherd. He will hold us and guide us. And we need to listen to His voice to know what's out there for protection, because there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's really dangerous. And in Alaska, there are a lot of dangers that's out there, and bear being one of them. They don't have snakes, but they do have a lot of bugs, and they don't have ticks either, which is kind of nice to know. All right, so
a lot of mosquitoes.
I was going to mention that because you know they do have those. Yeah. All right, so. And this is a picture here. These are all of our kids. There's Tim, Emily, and Ryan on the right. And this is Ryan's girlfriend, Tiki. She's a really nice girl and everything. And we're really proud of all of them. Tiki and Ryan actually are expecting a child in January now. So it'll be a special time for them, what's going on. But it's just so nice to be able to have, you know, time with our family and to be able to bring that together and see what he got. Again, this is up on top of that ski ridge, just looking over. That's that turnaway arm, and you can see where the tide is out. Other times that'll be right filled with water because of the big change that's inside there. And sometimes you wonder what is it that's most important? Is it most important, you know, just to be able to say that you've been to Alaska, or is it most important to be with family? Well, really, to us, what's most important is that we can just, you know, speak our faith too, and to even talk with our kids to be able to do that. The scripture here says that in Colossians 2:2-3, says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's really our heart, you know, that all of our kids know. And I know with your families too, that your kids know the Lord because of the comfort and the grace that He gives, and the meaning of that. Not just that eternal life, but that God is with us now through the things that we're going through, and that we don't have to go through those alone, and how much fuller and richer a life would be if we all know Christ and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. So really, that's what we're, you know, just that message, you know, to our kids alone, I think, is really important to us. I have to speak too that our trip wasn't all that fun, because we spent time on the airplanes and in the airports and stuff, and really it was like a 16-hour flight, maybe 12 hours. We left here at 8 in the morning, got there at 8 at night, but there's a 4-hour difference, so you had 4 hours of that. That's 16 hours, and that was there and then back. And I have to tell you, even I got really nervous, because on the way back, we had a flight that went into Minnesota from Anchorage, and then from Minnesota to Detroit. We had 5 hours in Minnesota, and then as we were going to be going into Detroit, we had a half-hour layover. And we didn't realize this, but our seating isn't like in the back of the plane. And you know how long it takes to get off the plane? A good half hour. So I'm really nervous, and we're sitting in the airport and stuff, and it was actually upsetting my stomach, and I was kind of quiet, and you know, praying about it, and, you know, in my mind, and I'd go for little walks here and there, and we were spending time just here, and you're thinking, God, there's no way we're going to be able to make it in time. I just know we're not. It's impossible for that to happen. You got to do something. And I know Hope was praying about the whole thing. It's like, and my daughter Emily, she's like, oh, you know, whatever. And it's like, but it's like, you know, we'd have to spend a night in Detroit. We'd probably have to get new flights. And I'm already checking the flights for the next day, booked completely. You know, so it's like, it's not maybe one night, but maybe two nights. And this is not going to go well in terms of being able to come back. Well, we're finally boarding, and we're watching the people get on the flight. Wouldn't you know it? There's like five people that are like in wheelchairs who are all going to be ahead of us. And it's great that they get to travel, but you know what? I can't get off the plane fast enough because they're going to be getting off really slow. It's going to hide, you know, even if we get there, or there's no way we can get to the next gate. We also look at where we're in Detroit, where we're going to be coming off of our plane in gate 72, and we're going to be on gate 34, which is like a quarter of a mile down, and I seriously mean a quarter of a mile. These airports are huge. There's no way we can make that with carrying our luggage and stuff that we have. And there's no way. So guess what happens? We get on the plane, and we're already late. The pilot gets on and says, well, we missed our takeoff time. Now, there's another plane ahead of us. Now it's like, okay, there's definitely we're not going to be able to make it. Yeah, really. And it's like, even me, I really have trust in the Lord, but I was struggling with this one here. So then he says, well, it's going to be a few more minutes because there's a storm between Minneapolis and Detroit, and we have to reroute our flight and put all that information in, so it'll be a few more minutes. Finally, we take off, and it's like we're sitting there, not even moving. I'm like, get this thing going. It's a plane, you know? It's got engines. Use it. Finally, we take off, and it's like no service with the stewards or the stewardess. Or stewardesses, because the plane is like bouncing and stuff through the storm and everything. And he basically told everybody just to stay seated. It was a couple hour flight. And it just felt like the plane was rocking the whole time. I said, this is terrible. So we get there, and it's like we're talking to some other people, and there's many other people that have to catch a flight too. Some of them only have 10 minutes to catch their flight. We had half an hour. We get there, we're already late. The plane time is gone, right? And here we are sitting, you know, the plane pulls up and everybody's starting to unbuckle. Stewardesses come down, get those seatbelts on, we're not there yet. And the pilot gets on, he says, we haven't arrived at our actual gate. He says, we're waiting for something to get up there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad. How much waiting can we do and how much delay can there be? And I'm looking at the clock, it's like, it's past that time, we can't get there. Finally, he pulls ahead, and the stewardess makes a call and says, you know, there are multiple people that have to catch multiple flights that they're already late for. Please allow them to get their luggage and get off first. Well, you know, I don't know if you've been in planes before, but you always allow the first to go, then the next row, and always like that. And everybody's, as soon as your row's up, and you're getting your luggage out, and you're out. Because everybody has someplace to go. It was just amazing the number of people that sat down. And it was about half the plane probably that had to get to a flight. The other half just sat there patiently. And someone said, this never happens. Never happens. There are people that are that patient to be able to do it. And then the next thing is, you know, we're running to get to this gate, which is, it's beyond the time and everything. We finally get there, and there's a couple guys standing out there, and one guy just kind of leaning up, and he says, don't worry, they held the plane for you. And it's like, and so my daughter, who's flown an awful lot, she says, they never do that. And because, yeah, don't get used to it. Yeah, that's true. But really what happened was, it was all God's plan. I really want to share this because it's important. The fact that we were late and had that storm, and there were multiple people that going in there, right? What they did is they held all of those planes that these people had to make contact with and board. That plane left a half hour later than what it should have to Connecticut, where we're going to board. All those other planes were late as well. But they held every one of those. And I know if it hadn't been for that storm, hadn't been for our plane leaving late, we would have had exactly a half an hour from the time that it landed to the time that our plane takes off. We would have missed our flight. But because of that storm, God made a way. So what was all that anxiety about? What was all that worry about? And you know where this is going? Yeah, that little scripture verse that we hear so often in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Right? In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He provided us a way to get home on time. And it was just good. And so that was just a phenomenal thing to be able to have that. So in 2 Corinthians 8 through 7, you learn a little bit more about your walk with your faith. It says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in His grace of giving. You know, we see people give and share. And sometimes we get to be the reciprocants of that sort of thing. It works both ways, right? We don't always just receive, we give those sort of things. And God expects us to be able to do that as we're setting up over there. And then this is really where it comes down to be content. Here, this is just a picture of me and Tim, but you know, our deck right there. And I was sitting on that chair after we got back on that Wednesday evening, when you guys were doing Bible study. I was sitting on the deck, and I was just thinking about how Alaska is just so beautiful, and I'm so drawn to Alaska. Even Hope, like I said, was drawn to it. And I'm thinking, you know, that's my place. That's where I really need to go.
You're not leaving.
I even sent a text to like Dennis with a picture on there and told him, I says, it's just so beautiful. And he says, make sure you get back here. He says, we need you. But it was kind of funny, and I sat there, and I'm just thinking, you know, and all of a sudden I started hearing things, and I started hearing like the birds, and then you know the crickets, and it dawned on me, the whole time I was there, I never really heard anything at night. It was like silent, and they had some magpies that made some noise, but that was like during the day, but in the evening there was just. There's like no sounds. And I think it's too harsh, you know, for the tree frogs and crickets and all that stuff that make a tremendous noise. And so the noise became like wicked loud that night. You know, some nights are louder than others. And then I got to thinking too, is like, you know, Alaska is a beautiful place, but there's something that I have here that I don't have in Alaska, and that's family. It's really special. And then just to sit there thinking, you know, God has blessed us with this place right here in Russell, with this church and family and our jobs that we have and the connection with the family and stuff. That's contentment. I am content to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I have to tell you, it is an awesome, it's a strong pull for me to go back to Alaska and stuff. There may be a day. What's that? But it was so great. And I got to thinking about, you know, we have been given so much in our lives. And sometimes we think, if only I had this, if only I was there, if only this wasn't happening and stuff. My message to you is, be content with what God has given you. There's a reason He's given you what He's given you. And maybe it's to appreciate the places like Alaska all the more, or your family all the more, whatever it is. But we have been given so much. Why are we not walking around with smiles all the time? And I don't, I mean, that's the physical things, but we've been given those spiritual things, that relationship with God. Why do we stress out? Yeah, we can make our pleas with God, but we know that He's there. He's taking care of that sort of thing, right? Yes and no. Oh, this, yeah. Let me go back. Yeah. Where is that? Yeah, that's Kit. Yeah, she was pretty good, yeah. Yeah. But look at here in 1 Timothy 6:6-8, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." If you're struggling and trying to do God's work at the same time, you're missing the picture. We need to be content in our relationship with God. That doesn't mean that we sit and we're the same thing we were 15 years ago. God's going to move us along. But move along at the pace that He wants you to move along at. If He's pushing you, then you go a little farther. If He's telling you to sit, then you sit. And be content with that, even though there's struggles going. I keep going back to the struggles because that's usually what is problematic for us. It could be financial, it could be relationship, it could be losses of things, it could be a huge thing. But be content with what God has given you, the friendships that you've got and the relationships. Work on those things. Because that's really in the end what matters. It's not about how thick your wallet is or whatever you've got. But it says right here, he says, "For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Our health isn't always what we want it to be, but God has given us this health to deal with it, right? So let's just be content. And I've got one last picture here because there's reminders that God gives us, even when we're away, about our home and our family and our friends and stuff like this. I saw this. It was close to where we were. Doran Lane. This is what I was telling you about. And so every time we drove out of our little chalet and stuff, we always passed Doran Lane. And it was just a reminder. Thank you, Doran, for having that name, because where else are you going to find that? In Alaska is where you're going to find that name. That was so cool. Pretty special and everything. So you guys weren't forgot when we were gone. And God was there as God is here. And it's just a beautiful trip. But I do want you to just sit on your porch, sit on your chairs, and be content with what God has given you. I think it's important to do that, because I feel like then you can really do His work. And there's a manifestation of God's glory when we're not struggling and fighting against it. Going against the goad is what they say. Goad, going against the goad. All right, let's just end in prayer. So, Father, I do thank You for being able to go to Alaska. I thank You for being able to see You in Alaska in a lot of different ways. I thank You that we can look at this and just know that there is peace that we can have in Your Spirit. And that's the only place we're going to be able to find that. There's a lot around us, a lot of mountains, a lot of ruggedness. There's a lot of beauty around us. There's a lot of change of scenery at times. But the one thing that's consistent, the one thing that never changes, is You. Your love for us and the message that You have with open arms, "Just come to Me." Father, we thank You and we pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.